Observations of nonlinear internal waves east of Luzon Strait.
I've only been peripherally involved in the ITOP program. I've primarily worked on the sister program, IWISE, Internal Waves and Straits program. And this is some analysis that's kind of come out of some data that's related to that. But the area that this investigation is done is the ITOP area, and I think there's a lot more data that's been collected in the boring and satellite data as part of this program. And so it's sort of a call for letting you know potentially another use for it, and maybe getting an email from me asking for some information. So modeling has predicted that we should see some high frequency, greater than a cycle an hour, nonlinear internal waves east of the Luzon Strait. We're finally beginning to see them in the with the satellite data, the static aperture radar, and the optical sun glint imagery. We've got one set of in-situ observations collected back in 2005 that I'll show here. The waves are very different than the internal solitary waves that propagate westward into the South China Sea. As many of you have seen or know about, typically there's a large solitary wave or a set of solitary wave packets generated here in Luzon. The amplitudes of them are typically 100 to 200 meters. We're seeing to the east much finer scale waves, typically only about 500 meters between the waves and the wave packet. They are traditionally in wave packets and not isolated solitons. Based on the data we have, the generation seems to be somewhat more intermittent and irregular compared to what the model has been saying. And you can see the spatial distribution is rather wide. We have some up here just south of the islands, a tremendous amount of them here, sort of the mid-latitude. Some here just off of Luzon. And one of the interesting factors is we don't see them here until about 123 degrees east, 123 and a half degrees east. This is just some example satellite data of that region around 123, the generation region. That generation region is actually the region that has been predicted by the Jugemann model using ROMS. Although the frequency that we're seeing in the satellite is less than he's predicting, you can see some very fine scale packets here. This is a SAR image, again, just about 250 meters between the first couple of waves in the packet here. In 2005 here, it extends out to about 500 meters, I guess, as the thermocline becomes a little bit more well-formed. This third image here actually covers a much larger area, but the waves are not quite as well-formed here. So depending on when we're seeing the observations, we're seeing quite a bit of variation in how they manifest themselves. It's been a little bit difficult to do from the satellite, so we put out made some inquiries with the help of Steve Ramp here and John Colosi at Naval Postgraduate School. We tracked down Mike Toner down at NAVO, who had a mooring deployed out here in the Eastern Philippine Sea in 2005, right about the area we needed, to about 124. Four and a half here and at the right latitude. And he had made some nonlinear internal wave observations of a single packet right here during his deployment. We had a buoy with a thermistor string below it, sampling at 5 meter time temperature at 5 meter intervals between 25 and 80 meters, and then also again at 100 meters, 130 meters, 140 meters, and a nice high sampling rate so we can see those variations in the temperature. This is sort of a larger scale picture. This is about 3 days of data. Again, as we've seen in some of the glider data, a very nicely formed internal tidal structure here every 24 hours. Riding on top of it, we see some higher frequency stuff. Right here in the middle is the high frequency wave packet that I'm going to talk about a little bit more on the next slide. It was a singular event. Neither the tide before it or the tide after it had any of these high frequency signatures. That's actually consistent with what we're seeing in some of the satellite imagery. We just get these, in many cases, these just isolated packets with nothing 100 kilometers, 200 kilometers before or afterwards. We blow this region up. So we have a beautiful, highly nonlinear packet. If you look at the see a very sharp delineation there at about 30 meters depth. And we have a lead solitary wave here in this packet of about 40 meters in amplitude. So it's a very highly nonlinear event. There's a strong semblance of the internal waves that were observed on the Oregon coast during the COPE experiment. Again, about eight to 10 waves in this packet. Very well defined. Again, the data collection was right near where we expect the origin to be. We take the equations that were used in the paper by Stanton and Ostrowski to describe COPE. We have a combined KDB model with the added alpha 1 term. We use a two-layer model, and we can get a pretty nice fit to the solitons in this packet with these values here to the left-hand side. One of the interesting things that's coming out of here is we're getting a velocity of only about a meter a second in 5,000 meters of water. Again, this new term here reflects the nonlinearity. Again, in a very small upper layer depth compared to the lower layer. So it's a very unusual wave, sort of out there in the middle of the ocean. Not entirely sure what their source of the generation is at this point. Again, it's quite a distance from any significant variation in topography, so it's probably not a tide topography interaction. It probably has to do with some type of conversion over the internal tide. There's quite a bit of optical data from the satellite and synthetic aperture radar data. But even with this collection, we've got, over about 8 years, there's about 17 or 18 collections. They're actually very difficult to find. The data that covers the largest area is moderate resolution data that allows us to search a wide region. Really, we're pushing the resolution with being able to see these kinds of small wave packets. The finer scale resolution that we really want to do any kind of a more detailed analysis covers a much smaller area, and it's much tougher to catch these isolated wave packets in that very large area of ocean. This is an unusual set of images that were collected back in 2007. This one in early August, this one in late July. So there's just about a fortnightly tidal cycle between. This is continuous in latitude. The SAR image at the top, an optical sunglint image at the bottom. And this is one of the few examples we have where there are have been multiple wave packets generated that appear to sort of be on the sequential tides here. So you can see there's a series of them sequence up here. We've got another series kind of coming out here indicating that there might be a couple of different origin points. Again, sort of two here. The question is, both image sets covered this entire region, but in the early August, we only saw the internal waves up here around 21 degrees north latitude. In this earlier, 14 days earlier here in July, we saw them only down here in this lower 19 degrees north latitude. So something happened in that 2 weeks that sort of allowed them to migrate from the lower to higher latitudes. Again, sort of another mystery as to what's going on with this kind of high frequency feature east of the Luzon Strait. These data have been sort of just a teaser, so we sort of have at least confirmed that the models that this event takes place out there, but their characteristics are somewhat different than what the model is predicting. And so really some additional in-situ observations are needed to better characterize and understand the nonlinear internal waves. As a satellite remote sensor, it's kind of disappointing that the satellite remote sensing is kind of letting us down in the situation just because of the area that needs to be searched, the small size of the target, and the trade-off that you have to have for resolution versus area searching. And so really, the near observations need to be done with some kind of a long-term mooring, like was deployed during ICOP. And so I expect there are some nice additional high-frequency nonlinear internal wave observations that have been acquired as part of that data set, both from the temperature records, maybe from the Atlas moorings to the ACES moorings. And I would suspect that there should be some additional signatures in some of the nice X-band SAR data that's collected over this period of time. There's also some additional work being done out there in the Philippine Sea over the next couple of years that hopefully we'll be able to leverage as well. Any questions? Eric.
Could you go back to the data from that chain? Go back a bunch. Go back to the... So that warm, the shallowest demister was at 25 meters.
Yes.
Okay, so I was wondering where the warm water was coming from, but it's just coming from up above where you're not looking.
Right. Yeah, and you can see we begin to see the beginning of an event here, but if you blow this up, there's nothing that's non-linear about it. There's just some nice oscillations. It isn't until here that it becomes very, very non-linear. And again, by the third cycle, it's gone. Almost completely. Yeah, unfortunately, the temperature data started 25. There's some pressure data up a little higher, but it wasn't sampled quite as rapidly. Yes, sir.
For the optical sensors such as MODIS, what kind of sunlight do you need in order to observe these features?
Well, we need the glint of the area. So, you know, based on the geometry, we only see in that latitude certain times of the year, typically between about April and September, you know, give or take. Clouds are evolving. The problem with MODIS is its resolution. At 250 meter resolution, looking for a wave packet that's only a kilometer or two wide, it's just very difficult to find them. You just kind of have to get it just right. The pictures I showed a little bit earlier, these are from an optical sensor called Aster, which is actually on the exact same satellite as MODIS, but unlike MODIS, which is on all the time, Aster sort of has to be tasked. But it's got nice 10 meter resolution, so the full resolution of these images are exactly what we want. But again, catching the 60 kilometer by 60 kilometer swath in the middle of all that ocean is, you know, it's just luck. I'm hoping some of the TerraSAR data will show some of this. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, sir.
Yes, we do have the measurement in this called Rule of Trade. It's a long-term measurement, and we did see the longitude of wave. The period is about 1 to 3 hours.
Okay.
So things like the small scale variation, maybe we measure it, but it looks like a noise. Yeah, so we may look into the data, check, maybe compare with the satellite data.
Okay, what longitude is the mooring at? Uh-huh. What longitude? Where is it?
That's
right about where
we are.
That's kind of what I'm hoping.